My name is Mark Boucher, and I'm the library director here at Lake Superior State University Library. And on behalf of the entire Library and Learning Commons staff, I really want to thank you all for being here. This is really exciting. This is the first in our new outreach series programs in which we'll be featuring, hopefully every semester, a poetry series, a writer series, a scholar series, and maybe a sustainability series. We're going to see how this all works out. This evening, Michael will be back doing the first poetry series here in the library. This actually is a very busy week. The way we scheduled some of these outreach sessions boggles my mind. On Friday, we have a Michigan author, Patricia Maher, author of Great Girls in Michigan History. She'll be here at 7 p.m. And Thursday, October 20th, we have Dr. Gary Britton, University of Wisconsin, emeritus professor of mathematics, talking about mathematics in nature and the arts. This session, I'm very honored to be able to introduce the creator of the palm of the hand memoir writing style, of which I've been actively participating in for about 5 years now. We've started a palm of the hand memoir writing group here that meets the first Tuesday of every month at 12:30 here in this library. A little bit about our presenter. Michael Czarnecki is not only someone who helps people write memoirs, he is a poet, he is a publisher, he is a rambler in that he travels all around the country. Maybe we'll be able to hear the story about the 48 state tour that you did. I first met Michael about 5 years ago when I was in Baraboo. Somebody referred me to him. I never heard of him, no offense, but a friend of mine in Minnesota said, hey, if you're looking to bring in somebody, bring in this guy. And I'm like, where is he from? Upstate New York. Well, I happen to like upstate New York, so I'm thinking, oh, okay, I'll give this guy a shot. And so,
good thing I didn't say maybe rural Georgia or something.
That's actually true. Right. So it really worked out. Michael was able to come to Baraboo. We were able to start the Palm of the Hand memoir writing series there. And now we have Michael back for these two events to talk about Palm of the Hand memoir writing, and then later this evening at 7 o'clock, a poetry reading. Is it 7 or 7:30? It's 7. Yeah, it's 7 o'clock. Never stop asking for poems. So, again, Michael comes from upstate New York. He has this amazing past that maybe you'll be able to talk about, or maybe it'll get you thinking about, ooh, what are his poems going to be like this evening? So, anyways, please help me welcome Michael Czarnecki. Oh, and I should say, please make yourself at home with the coffee, the treats, and all that stuff over there.
And are we recording?
We are recording. We will be podcasting this if it turns out you want to do it later.
Okay, thank you very much, Mark. It's wonderful to be here again. I was here last November. I believe it was November, the very end of October, and really enjoyed it very much, and it's great to be back. This is the start of a six-week tour that I'm on. This is my first venue. From here, I head west, northern Minnesota, Montana, California, Oregon, and so this is great to kick off the tour being up here. How many of you are aware of the Palm of the Hand memoir method? I know some of you, right? Yeah, many of you. Okay. So this is going to be sort of repeating information for you. I mean, you know that already. But what I want to do is present this method to you. How many of you have written memoirs or been interested in writing memoirs? Yeah, I think, you know, we all have fascinating stories to tell. We've all had amazing experiences. You know, I talk to some people and, oh, I've never done anything interesting. No, that's not true. We all have done something interesting. And I think we all should share our And that sort of, you know, bothered me. How do you get beyond that block of, you know, this? And one day I was reading a book called Palm of the Hand Stories by Yasunari Kawabata. Yasunari Kawabata is a Japanese writer. Anybody familiar with him at all? Kawabata, Mark is, right? And Mark, that's right. These are the copies.
Oh,
okay, I forgot about that. I've been influenced a lot by the Chinese and Japanese poets especially. And I was reading Kawabata's Palm of the Hand Stories. He won a Nobel Prize for literature for his novels. He wrote A Thousand Cranes, The Snow Country, The Master of Go, just some wonderful, wonderful novels that I loved. And I saw a reference to these Palm of the Hand stories that he had written his whole life but wasn't really known for those at all. And so I ordered the book, and what it is it's sort of what you might call flash fiction now. Short pieces, 1, 2, 3 pages, most of them. And as I was lying there one night reading the book, I put the book down because I had this thought. You know, maybe this is a way to approach memoir writing. And I thought, Palm of the Hand memoirs. And so, you know, I made a few notes and went to bed, you know, went to sleep, and in the morning, I thought more about it, made some more notes, and I got real excited. You know how your ideas are great ideas in your head, you know? It's like, okay, let's see if this will work. So I called the library about 100 miles from home. Anyone know New York State, Corning, New York? Anyone know where Corning, New York is? No? Okay. Well, I live 30 miles north of there. And I called this library about 100 miles away where I'd been doing work. And I said, Liz, the director, I said, I'd love to test out this idea I've got. And I'd like to do 4 workshops, 1 every other week, you know, over an 8-week period, to present this method. She goes, yeah, I would love to. A little louder? Okay, thank you, Mark, thank you. So I said, yeah, I would love, you know, she would love to do that. So we set up the first workshop, and 17 people came to it, really nice turnout. A couple people wanted to work on, one person wanted to do Civil War history, 2 people wanted to work on poetry. I said, no, sorry. This is very focused. It's a Palm of the Hand memoir series. I said, please stay, though, even though this isn't what you were thinking. Please stay for the first one. Well, it turned out everybody returned for each of the sessions, except unless they had a conflict. And it was so successful, we extended it for 3 more workshops beyond that. So the idea worked. And a few months later, I tested it again, a second time at a local library. And smaller group, but the same thing, you know, and people in both of those places, this was 13 years ago maybe, you know, are still writing Palm of the Hand memoirs. So the idea really worked. And what I did, I started then presenting this around the country as I go on my tours. And I don't really want to talk too much about my tours and all. I'll do a little bit tonight at the reading, okay? But, you know, I do travel around the country a lot giving workshops and readings. And on this tour, I'll be doing a number of Palm of the Hand workshops again. And it really, really works. So I love presenting this. And like Mark said, maybe 5 years ago in Baraboo, you know, he was there, brought me in, and he's been like real excited about this method. And it generally does work. You know, nothing works for everybody, but it really does work for a lot of people. And I did want to mention too that this is a little book. It's not available for sale. I do have books for sale here. No Palm of the Hand stories, but poetry and 1 prose Haibun book. But this is a book that was put together in Sauk County, Wisconsin, Baraboo and some of the surrounding libraries. Mark and Meg Allen spearheaded putting together a collection of Palm of the Hand stories that people had been writing there. And Mark was telling me today there's like 4 different libraries now in that area that are hosting Palm of the Hand workshops. So the method really does work. So what I want to do today and try to be aware of time, let me put my thing up there. We'll try to wrap up by 12:50, okay? So is that good? That works for everybody if we finish by then? So what I want to do is present the method to you today, okay, and give you some examples, and we'll have a handout, too, to give. And basically, I mean, you know, what is a memoir? A memoir is our memory. You know, we're writing from our memory. It's not an autobiography. An autobiography is I'm going to say more factual, more complete, more detailed. A memoir is writing from your memory for the most part. And you can write a number of memoirs of your life. I could write a memoir about the old hitchhiking days, the 30,000 miles I hitchhiked off and on for 3 years as a young adult, changed my life. You know, I could write a memoir of what it is to be a poet, make a living as a poet. Not a whole lot of people are doing that, you know. I could write a memoir about homesteading, the old community in the hills, back to the land movement. You know, so there's various memoirs you could write about your life. I mean, often we play different roles throughout our life, you know. And again, that's not an autobiography. That's a memoir. And memoir is memory. And what I always say with memory is, like, you know, it's not infallible. You know, we have our memory. I had 45 years worth of journals that I kept. I lost them all 4 years ago in a house fire. We lost all our... And that's the only thing I really miss is those journals, 45 years of journals. But often I would refer back to those. You know, I've got this memory of 1972 and this experience, you know, and I go back to the journal. Oh, it isn't quite exactly how I remember it, you know. Or maybe it was actually 1973 and I'm thinking it's 72, you know. So the journals were a really nice... But it is memory. And we can only... We don't memorize everything as it was. It becomes fiction once it's happened, you know. Your memory is almost like fiction in a sense. But you should be true to your memory. And like I said earlier, we all have, I think, fascinating stories to tell. As I've done maybe hundreds of these workshops, I'm not sure. And I hear wonderful stories from people. And you know the wow experiences in our life? There's very few of those. Very few wow experiences. Most of our experiences are sort of everyday, you know, little happenings that aren't momentous, but they're still important to share. And a lot of people have come to the workshops because they want to get their story down for their family. You know, I had one person come to me the second workshop. It was a series of four in my home area. And they said, you know, I was talking to my kids. They aren't interested in seeing these. Why should I write them? I said, you know, maybe they're not interested now. And these were grown kids, too. You know, these weren't like 12-year-olds or whatever. And I said, you know, maybe they're not interested now. Maybe they will be 10, 20 years from now. You know, maybe they'll never be interested, but you know what? Maybe their kids will be interested. You know? And how many of you have writing from your grandparents or even parents or grandparents? How, raise your hand if you do. Yeah, a few people. Yeah, what a treasure that is, isn't it? And you know, what's... You know, my mom didn't write. My dad... Well, I never knew my real dad. I don't know if he wrote. Probably not. But, you know, it's like you gather some of your experiences in life and put them down on paper. They're there for who knows how long. And, you know, one woman came to a workshop before I developed this method, and I have people introduce themselves, and she had an old journal sitting in front of her. And when it got to her turn, she goes, well, can I tell you about this journal? I said, yeah, I was going to ask. She said, this is my great aunt's journal. A great aunt I never saw, never knew her. No, it was a great-great-aunt. I'm sorry, great-great-aunt. And this is one journal from 35 years worth of journals she kept. And I said, can you open it to just a page and read a paragraph? And she opened it, and the paragraph was about, they lived on a farm near Elmira, New York, and they were going into town to the train station with the horse and buggy to pick up Uncle David, who was coming to from New York City, who was coming to spend a week with them at the farm. You know, what a treasure this was. And you could see this woman, how she glowed, you know, having, you know, nobody she ever knew, but this is family stories, you know, from way back. So there's a value of writing our experiences down. And again, even if they're just going to the train station to pick up Uncle David, you know, it's, those are worth writing. So any questions about memoirs here at all? Any questions? Okay, one of the key things with the palm of the hand method, and there's a handouts going around, and look at the one that there's a list. There's a list, okay? There's three handouts. When you get it, look at the one that's a list, okay? This is one of the key aspects of the palm of the handwriting, is developing a list of our memories, a list of our experiences that we remember, okay? And if you have that list and look through it, that's one page of my list. I've got pages and pages of this list of memories, okay? And if you look at that list, you could see some that are, you know, maybe you'd recognize, you know, Beatles, Ed Sullivan, I think that's on the list, right? You know, some of you had that experience. JFK's assassination, I think that's on that page too. Some of you had that experience. But there's other things that are, you know, shooting dad. I don't know if anyone had that experience, you know. But, you know, I look at any of those phrases or words, and they take me immediately back to a very specific memory, okay? And the idea of the palm of the hand is to generate a list of these memories, and then those are going to be the subjects of your writing, okay? So what I'd like to do here now is, and again, before, any questions? Any questions? I love questions. Do, 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 do. Yes. Let's get to that. Ask that again after, okay? But a little bit further down the road? Yeah, good question. And I have an answer for that, but let's deal with that after. Okay, so everybody have pencil and paper? I mean, you've got paper now. You could use the back of one of those, yeah. Does anyone need something to write with? Everybody have something to write with? Okay, what we're going to do is I'm going to take about 7 minutes here. And what I want you to do, and listen carefully first, how many of you are familiar with, I always attributed this quote to the wrong person. I was going to say, how many of you are familiar, you know, with Jack Kerouac? Well, that's the wrong person. How many of you are familiar with Allen Ginsberg? Wonderful poet, Beat Generation writers, okay? But this quote, I was corrected. It's Allen Ginsberg's, not Jack Kerouac's quote. First thought, best thought. First thought, best thought. I really like that idea. And just a sidelight on that, on Facebook, every day I post a new spontaneous poem, just written in the moment, no revision, no editing or anything. I write it, put it out there. First thought, best thought. I don't do that normally with my writing, but those spontaneous poems I do. And what I want you to do here is first thought, best thought. Don't edit yourself. Don't second guess your thoughts coming out of your head, okay? So for 7 minutes, I want you, like that list of mine of different memories, I want you to, what's the first memory of yours that comes into mind? Put down as few words as you need to on the paper and then go to another memory. So you're not writing about any memory. All you're doing here is developing a list of memories. And they should come out of your head, boom, boom, boom. You know, don't. And if a memory comes up you don't like, write it down anyway, okay? There's a reason it's popping up out of your head, okay? So any questions about this? Okay, so 7 minutes, make a list of memories. As few words as you need, and then go to another memory, okay? Okay, this always seems like I shouldn't be saying this, but stop writing. That always seems like, no, you don't ever tell people to stop writing. But and if you still got ideas, go ahead, keep jotting them down, you know. So, okay, comments. Somebody give me a comment on doing this. What was it like for you? Come on, I want to see hands. I want to see people sharing. Yes?
It's interesting seeing, like what memories are the ones that, like, are the most vibrant still and are the most crisp, even if, like, the times were from a while ago or the freshest ones.
Okay.
The most, like, vivid, you know?
So you got some from way back and some more recent ones in that, too? Yeah.
I have to say that I had a little bit of difficulty, and my mind kept on returning to things that need to be done in the future and things that are going on right now.
That's interesting. I've never had anyone say that before.
It was sort of interesting to see the path that my brain followed, you know, like... at first, it started out with some, you know, medical stuff, and then it went right to some stuff with my grandparents, and then from the grandparents, it went on to think like just seeing how each memory kind of related, but I ended up in a totally different place than where I started. So yeah. It just
just, yeah, interesting. Any other comments? Yes?
Emotions. When I was recalling events, I was recalling also an emotion that went along with it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah, that whole feeling, which sticks with us often, you know? So, yeah. Any other comments? Yes?
Really variety of impact. Some were like, yeah, really important. Others were very mundane. There was no pattern to it.
And see, that's what I was saying earlier. You know, those wow experiences are, you know, far and few between, but a lot of life is the mundane stuff. And yet, that's what also entered, you know, came out of your head. You know, those are memorable, even though they're mundane. And I've heard wonderful palm of the hand stories just about simple little experiences, you know, that are, again, worth sharing. So, yeah, that was an example of what's coming out. You know, did anybody edit themselves, like not write one down when you thought of it? Good, good, good. So any final comments on doing this, the process? Okay, so this is your list. Oh, and Mark, is there any extra copy? Yeah, I see them right there.
Yeah, okay. There's a whole bunch of
and there's
copies.
Some here, I think, yeah. Too, the original. Okay, great. Because I'll need...
Right.
So what this is then, and this is, you know, I'm presenting you the basic information of the Palm of the Hand memoir. If we had more time, you know, like a two-hour workshop, we would do, you know, we would go in depth a little bit more, and I'd be hearing more, you know, from you. I would ask you to share one of your stories that, yeah, actually, we won't do this, but look through your list. Mark off the one that you would be most interested in sharing orally. You know, not even writing, but just orally. If I asked all of you to pick one story to share up here, which one would you pick? And just mark that one off, you know, just for your own sake, your own benefit. Okay, maybe that's the one you're going to do your first palm of the hand writing from, okay? Maybe. Maybe not. Okay. So this list is the source list for your writing. And a palm of the hand, and like I said, I've got pages and pages. I gave you just one example of mine. I've got pages and pages of source material to write from. And the whole idea of a palm of the hand memoir is to take one very specific experience. Like if you look at my list, you know, these are all very specific things. Like, I mean, even picking worms. Yeah, picking worms, you know, whoever fishes maybe has done that. But, you know, I'm thinking of a very particular experience picking worms. I know exactly what that is. Ten Commandments and Mom. You know, that's the movie. Walking with my mom 2 miles to go see the movie when it came out. And I was a little kid, you know. And so every one of these is about a very specific experience. And the idea of the Palm of the Hand memoir is to take a very specific experience and then, you know, think about it, put yourself in that place, and then write about it in one page. Just in one page. That's it. I'm not going to tell you what font style to use or anything like that, you know. But to write about it in one page. I think every experience we've had, every specific experience could be written about in one page.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah, sure, because you've been doing some,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I've been doing this since last year. I went to Michael's workshop last year. And I have found when, you know, some things you may not want to share with other people, but when you do share, when people share their stories, I find it gives me, triggers memories,
yeah,
that I have, and I write down more things that, yeah, I can write about. So it's really nice to be able to share these things, because it will give you more ideas.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That happens. You know, when we go around in a little longer workshop, I have people share one of the, and there's always people adding to their list as they're listening to others. And that's it. There's so many shared experiences. You know, maybe not the exact same experience, but a shared kind of experience. We're all humans, you know? And we often have the same kind of experience. Mark?
One of the questions that oftentimes comes up during workshops that we do is, you know, is it okay if it's a memory that, say, my grandmother shared with me? am I able to do that? Because it's not my my memoir. I'm kind of writing down, but my answer is always, well, it's your experience of how you learned about that story, so it still keeps that story alive. But so it does. But
that experience of your grandmother's or whoever has become your memory now.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you're writing from, it's a secondhand experience, but it's part of your memory. I mean, I think we all have stories we can tell about what we heard, you know, or about our, you know, grandmothers, grandparents, parents, and that's become our story too. You know. Yeah. So definitely, some people. I remember one person early on came to a workshop, and she really wanted to get her father's stories down, but he didn't write. You know, she said, and she would have them. You know, she would take a tape recorder, and he'd, you know, just not want to share. You know, and she said, well, maybe what I should do then is have talk to him, just have him generate this memory list. I'll write them down. You know, and then just maybe go visit him. She said, and then. Hey, Dad, and then just bring one of them up and get him talking about it, and then she'd write it down. So, I mean, that was sort of a similar kind of thing, but, you know, it could be, and some, I've had some teachers use these as part of writing exercises for their students in high school and college even, too. So I think the method is a good method generally. Yes?
I would say that if somebody has trouble getting over the mental idea of it not being their memory, you might be able to prompt them by saying, it's your memory of your grandmother, and try to preserve the memory of your grandmother as a storyteller.
Yeah. So any other questions here? Yes?
Well, I was just going to mention about the stories of, like, grandmothers. Like, I had a grandmother that would tell us stories, and it was usually, like, my sister and I, but we never seemed to remember the same things exactly. So,
Yeah, and that is so, that's more often than not that's the case when you have people experiencing the same kind of, same experience and just having different recollections of it. It's, and so your memoir or your story is different than what your, you know, sisters would be, or your best friend you grew up with, you know, you shared the same experience. But, I mean, I had an experience in high school that changed my life. Just, there were a few, but one very specific one having to do with the teacher, and I won't go into it now, but a friend of mine who was in that class, he doesn't even recall it, you know. But for me, it was a life-changing experience, you know. Yeah. So your question earlier, what was that again? And I said we'd get back to it. What I say is just write them. You know, just write them. What one of the suggestions I have is when you want to sit down to write a memoir, look at your list. Which one is stopping you today? You know, and then write about it. I even like to say, you know, depend. Everybody writes in their own way, but I like to say just write it and then forget about it. Go write another one, you know, and write another one. And then eventually you'll get a little bit of a collection. I mean, Mark, you've written 60 or more of them, you said, right? And, you know, then maybe you think about organizing them or maybe rewriting them. But if you're just getting started, I would say get excited about doing it and just write a bunch of them. You know, and then afterwards. So, you know, you may have a whole group that, you know, are from your teenage years. You may have a whole group of being a grandparent, you know, or, you know, so they'll fall into different categories. And one of the things, just to comment on that too, when I mentioned that there are very specific experiences, you may have, and let me go with the grandfather theme. I'm a grandfather, okay? I may have 10 stories I could, you know, more than that, I could write as a grandparent, you know. Each one is a very specific experience. Often what I've seen, people will write about being a grandparent, and within what they wrote, there's three or four individual stories. Trying to put too much into one, have each one be a very specific experience. And then you may have just a series of them that relate to that one topic of being a grandparent, you know. So being very, really sticking with the specific experience. Okay, any other questions? No? What I'd like to do, let me look at the time here. We've got 10 minutes. I've given you handouts there. I'm not going to read the one I handed out. It's First Rite of Passage. It's about getting my first library card, okay? Appropriate for a library. You can read that, you know. Well, Mark, would you come up and share one?
I would be honored.
Yeah, you know, again, Mark's been so passionate about this method, I thought, hey, let's have Mark share a polygon.
Great, and I didn't know he was going to ask me to do that until about half an hour before this. So did you talk at all about the format, how it really needs to stay on one page?
Yeah, just keeping one page and limited to one page. And we'll say a little bit more at the wrap.
Yeah, okay. So it was rather hard for me to choose which one I would do, but I think this is a very relevant time of year to be doing this one, and some of the people that I write about are actually in the audience. So the name of this is Something Special About Sneaking Into a Brewers Game. I've been a lifelong Brewers fan. I loved County Stadium. It was a classic ballpark, built for baseball, not for all the distractions you see at today's more modern parks. There was baseball, and there were also concessions. You went to see the game. For those that aren't familiar with the old stadium, there were two sections to it. The main seats, which were actual seats with armrests, and it also had an upper deck and a lower deck. And then there were the bleachers. I remember that tickets for the bleachers were $5, and general admission was only $7, which allowed you to sit in any seat that wasn't a box seat that wasn't already occupied. The bleachers were just metal benches with numbers painted on them, but they were all sit wherever you wanted. But you could not get into the seated part of the stadium from the bleachers. I noticed that after about the third inning, the stadium gates would be open in order to let people leave, and especially in the bleachers, there were just these big metal sheets that were left ajar. Well, I knew that when the chance came, that would be the way I would do it. That night came, the evening Meg, my wife, came home from her excursion all the way to India. I was going to pick her up at the train station downtown as she was taking a bus from the Chicago airport. I hadn't seen her in probably 6 weeks, and I was very excited to pick her up. She had just been through a terrible ordeal, and I am sure she was exhausted from her 2 days of travel just to get home. Well, I figured this was my chance in order to do something really special. I picked her up in downtown Milwaukee, and instead of driving her home, we drove to County Stadium and walked straight over to the bleacher section. This was when the Brewers were pretty darn bad. It was in the year 2000. And there weren't a lot of people going to games in those days. When we walked around the bleachers, I spotted the sheet metal walls that had been opened in order to let fans leave. That was our chance. As was typical, there were no ticket vendors or guards actually checking tickets. We just walked right on in. It was only the third inning. No one said a word. We sat in the left center field bleachers and stretched out and were treated to a game that must have gone 15 innings. It was wonderful. Although rain started lightly pouring down, we had the time of our lives just soaking in the game and having Meg home again. Of course, we could have purchased tickets, and I am not a supporter of taking things without proper compensation. There was indeed something magical about sneaking into a Major League Baseball game. I now have my own story to pass down to my own son, like the stories I had heard of Fenway Park and Ebbets Field from the days of my grandfather's times. I hope my son has a chance to experience that magic someday too, but I fear the marketization of Miller Park has taken away some of that mystique, and there certainly are no unguarded exits in that stadium. Perhaps he will be able to do the same in a place like Wrigley or Fenway when it comes his turn, in order to try it on its own. So there you go.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
So how many of you thought about something you've snuck into in your lifetime? You know, write it down in your list. So So, okay, I want to, we'll wrap this up here. Before we go into the tips, I just want to briefly go over that. Any questions? Any questions at all about this? Yeah, everyone?
Can you add to your list ongoing spontaneous things?
Yeah. When I first started this, often I would just turn the computer on and go to that list, and let me add to it. Well, I've done so many of these now. I mean, the lists are pages and pages. But, Mark came up with some new ones today even. He's been doing this for quite a while. So yeah, the list you can keep expanding all the time, And sometimes I think about something, I'm not even doing this, I wonder if it's on my list, So I'll make a note in my notebook and then go see if it's there.
And a wonderful thing about having all these lists, right? So I have pages and pages and pages of, all of these short phrases, is that if I'm ever wondering, I just don't feel inspired to write anything today, I can just start paging through there, and that at least one of those spark.
Something will grab you. Yeah, definitely. So any other questions about this? The page of tips that I handed out, I don't need to go over all of that. I mean, you can read it. Just a couple of things I did want to emphasize, and I've talked about a number of these already. And again, these stories are your stories. Memoir is related to memory and not necessarily a factual autobiography. You want to be as true as you can to the memory of the experience, but it is memory after all, and we know how fallible that is. Don't fret the accuracy if you are being true to your recollection, okay? And, I mean, this is a college, but I say, don't worry about spelling or grammar, It's like, just write it in your own voice. That stuff can be corrected later. And write to the best of your ability in the moment. A lot of times people come to the workshop and they haven't really written much, but they want to, okay? Write to the best of your ability in the moment. The more you write, the easier it will flow. The more confidence you will build, the better your writing will become. Like anything, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And then the last two are important. 1, 9, not having enough time to write is an excuse. I used to have is usually an excuse. No, it's an excuse. You could always find some time to write. And then the final one, number 10, I've got a palm of the hand a week will yield 52 stories about your life in the course of a year. And think about that. You take 1 hour a week to write one palm of the hand story, and after a year, you've got 52 stories. And that's pretty fascinating. And I know some of you have been doing this, and I'm sure the collection's growing a bit, isn't it? Yeah, and it the method works for most people, okay? So that's pretty much it. I hope this has been helpful for you. Couple of comments otherwise. I do have a notebook here for if you want to leave your name and email address, I'll put you on my list. I send out a Wheeler Hill, I live on Wheeler Hill, we call it, up in upstate New York, very rural. And I send out an email journal every once in a while. If you want to be on that list, put your name and address. I do have a handout card that just has contact info. And again, like every day on Facebook, I do a new photo and a new spontaneous poem if you want to friend me on Facebook or whatever. And there are some books available for sale. So I want to thank Mark, and I want to thank the library for hosting this event. So this is the first event that you've had.
This is the first one.
I think we had a nice turnout here.
Fantastic. And, thank you, everybody, for
coming. Thank you all for coming and being here.
And don't forget, there's a poetry reading this evening.
7 o'clock tonight, I'll be reading poems and telling a few stories, too. Okay? So if if anyone's interested in coming, pass word.
Yeah.
Best way is word of mouth sometimes, getting an audience. So thank you all very much.